This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Okay, so excited to have you on the podcast. And funny enough that you literally just said, like, nice to like officially meet you, because we're on video and we always are on email or sometimes phone call, but after all these years, we've never actually met in person, which is wild.
Which is wild, which we're technically still not in person, even though I feel like I know you and I feel like that's the age of Instagram. I have all these besties all around the world that I feel so, in some cases, so connected to. It's crazy. Like some of the, you know, especially like customers of ours where we've known them for about 10 years, have seen kids grow, and I feel like I'm their auntie and we've never actually met. So
totally.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, I think it was like a year ago, I think you saw something online, a picture of me or a magazine or something. And you on the phone, you were like, I always imagined you like blonde with like curly hair. Do you remember that?
And I am like, still what? Having a little bit of shock. I'm like waiting. I'm like, is that okay? Put her on. Like, where's the real Sarah? You know, you have like a visual in your mind of what somebody looks like. I feel like it's that, you know, like Love is Blind, which I'm obsessed with, that show.
Same.
And so it's like, oh my gosh, that's what she looks like. And so, you know, I feel again, instantly connected for all the years that we've worked together. But yeah, I had a very different visual in my mind for some reason.
Yeah. But, and are you part Persian?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Are you half? What are you?
Half Persian, half Israeli.
Okay. Cause from your name, you can't tell either that like you're something, you know?
Yeah.
And like, well, my no, name.
Oved in Hebrew means work.
Oh, like, okay.
To work.
Yeah.
And so that's the, hence the apostrophe at the, after the L, cause internally it's Leoved baby, but no, you know, we call it loved baby, but that's
Stop
why
it.
Sometimes people will put like love apostrophe D. They're thinking it's like loved baby. And I'm like, no, it's actually our last name is in there. So.
Which, by the way, I just put that together like today.
Really, Sarah, after 400 years?
Well, you know what's also funny is my name is actually Sarah. It's not Sarah.
Oh, okay.
So I know. See, we're learning everything about each other.
We are.
All these years. But I didn't know you were Persian either. So when we spoke and I said, I'm like, oh no, I'm Persian. I'm definitely not blonde, blue eyes, curly. I forget exactly what you said.
Yeah.
And you were like, me too. And I'm like, we had no idea after years of working together, which is so funny.
But I guess we actually end up looking like cousins instead of I'm thinking of like, you know.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I love it. So tell everyone your story. Like, how did you get started? Obviously we got to just figure out what the name is, which is great.
So originally my background is in education. I have always worked in education and worked with kids in some capacity. I was a middle school teacher.
Okay.
And then I went on and thought I was going to become a principal. I really wanted to be a principal or an administrator and went on and got, in addition to my teaching credential, went on and got an administrative credential and thought, okay, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm heading. And then kind of, you know, things happen and, you know, and was offered a position actually at UCLA training beginning teachers who are going into public school systems here, like inner city public school systems. And I took that job. And so I worked for UCLA for, gosh, almost 10 or 11 years.
Wow.
Again, in the education sector, which training the teachers going into elementary and middle school. And I was doing workshops and all sorts of fun stuff for teachers and administrators. And that was my life. That's what I knew. That's what I studied. That's my expertise. That's my passion. And then meanwhile, you know, had gotten married to my high school sweetheart. And when we became pregnant with our first child, my mom, right before I became pregnant, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And my mom was very young. She was 45. She had me when she was 21 on her birthday, actually. And she was diagnosed. And I went into this like rabbit hole of like searching for how am I curing my mom? Like, you know how you take on these things, like,
Oh,
whatever I do
absolutely.
has, of course, bearing, which of course we find out it doesn't, but really went down this rabbit hole of like, what can I do? And started, reading all about converting her kitchen to macrobiotic and this and this and this. And along the way, come to find that people who breastfeed, women who breastfeed, are less likely to develop breast cancer. And also that, all the benefits for baby. Like, I didn't know, I knew breastfeeding was good, but I didn't know, why and such. And that really kind of shaped the next chapter of my life
Yeah,
because
and what year was this
this
roughly?
was, well, it was before I think it was right when the internet was invented. It was in 1999, back at the turn of the century. I was pregnant with my first, who is now 24, almost 25, and just got
Oh my
engaged.
gosh.
But I kind of made this, I've never been like a very religious person, but I made this sort of spiritual plea. Please, God, just let my mom be okay. I will breastfeed for a year. I'll breastfeed this child and all my future kids for a year. Like, you just grasping at straws, like anything that you can do. And started, like, had the baby, had a lot of difficulty with breastfeeding. I won't lie, I didn't know what I was doing. Luckily, there were like lactation consultants and stuff that really helped me with that, because it was something now that was like, for me, a mission, not so much for the baby, even though I knew it had benefits, but more of like, I need to do this so that my mother can stay alive. And did that for 8 months, and then got pregnant with my second child and went into a panic attack, thinking, I'm not going to hold up my end of the bargain, because my end of the bargain was, I will nurse for a year. And I freaked out and went to the doctor. The doctor's like, no, you could absolutely breastfeed while you're pregnant. And so I did that, crazy enough. And in doing so, again, I was still in education. I was still working as a teacher. So now I'm like nursing around the clock. And when I'm at work, I'm pumping. And I could not really do it comfortably in, it's funny, it's not really in public. It's like it was more like around my father-in-law or people like that.
Yeah, it is
Baby would like
hard.
pull the blanket off and I would get very uncomfortable. And so I designed the ugliest of ugly, Sarah, like nursing covers out of a bed sheet. My mother-in-law would be like, are you gonna sleep in
Love
the sheet? I'm like, I'm taking out the sheet, because yes, she needs to eat. And slowly from that, people are like, oh my gosh, you should make that, you should sell that, and I'm thinking like, okay, I now have two baby, I meanwhile have my second child, I'm working as a teacher, I've got two little kids. And it's
Yeah.
funny, because it wasn't until I was pregnant with my third one a few years after that, because I had them back to back to back, that people are like, oh, you should totally sell your nursing cover, blah, blah. And that's when I decided, you know what? Let me make it a little bit nicer. And it was a lot harder than I thought, let me tell you, finding the
Yeah.
right fabric, finding the right whatever. And eventually did that and thought, yeah, I could just sell this on the side. And I don't have to, I'm pretty sure I don't have to tell you what it's like to run a business. Nothing goes the way that you planned.
Yeah.
Nothing goes in the time frame that you planned. I mean,
Yeah.
things that I thought should take, 2 weeks took 2 years of development or whatever it was, but
Wow.
eventually
Yeah.
started selling the nursing cover. And that grew into slowly a full line of stuff as I created more stuff, as I had the, then I had another child. And yeah, and so kind of indirectly because of my mother's battle with breast cancer and then my having children, the nursing cover is what started it. And now it's kind of evolved into a full line of clothing that when we first launched was, kind of eco-friendly but not organic. And the more I did research on what it means to be an organic clothing brand, the more I realized how important it was, because the processing to make the clothing organic is equally as important to me as the final product. And knowing that there are about 12 to 15 known cancer-causing agents in production of cotton, conventional cotton, really led me to make sure that all of our stuff is done with organic cotton, so that the farmers and the laborers who are working with our cotton are not exposed to any carcinogens or anything. I've dealt with that. I've been there. My mother unfortunately lost her battle after 11 years. I do not want to put anybody, not the baby, not the, the middle person, nobody. I don't want anything to that I could, possibly prevent from happening. So that's why it's super, super important for me. That's why I only do organic cotton, no bamboo viscose, none of that, because that's extremely toxic processing. So in a very long nutshell, that's kind of how we started.
No, I love it. There's so much to unpack there. And you were really like ahead of the game because it's been how many, you've been in business for 20 years, right?
Yeah, we just celebrated 20 in
Yeah,
July.
well, congratulations, because
Thank
that's
you.
insane, 2 decades. But when you launched, I mean, no one was talking about this stuff. Like, I just remember the whole reason, one of the reasons I started Lemon was because I had little kids and it was hard for me to find organic baby stuff locally. Like, I was like, okay, I can go online and find it, but there was no stores
Yes.
around us where I could just walk in and get something that I felt like was safe, whether it was a teething toy or clothing or whatever. And so that's really how Lemon became created, where I was like, I'm gonna have everything be like organic and non-toxic, and the candles are safe to burn, and like all these things.
Yeah.
But that was in 2017, where I feel like people were starting to go in that direction anyways. But when you started, no one was talking about it.
Well, I have to tell you, when I started, the clothes, so originally 2004, we just started with a nursing cover, right? It was called the nursing shawl that does it all, because you could use it for nursing, for pumping, for as a pregnancy poncho, etc. But it wasn't until probably 2 or 3 years later that I started kind of the first of our clothing brand. And that's because my little one, I had babies born in like February and December, my second and my third, and they used to sleep with their little hands up. You know, and you don't want to put like the blankets on them, and their hands would be icicles. I'm talking 20 years ago, you know, they were. And so my first kind of thing was sort of this little gloverall, if you will, or like a glovesy. Like it was onesie that had the built-in mitts, which were, you know, all of our onesies and stuff have that. But it was, and I'm sorry, you're going to hear the phone call. See, this is what it is running a business. What it is
We
running a
actually
small
don't hear
business.
it.
Oh, that's good. But, in any event, what I was saying is I didn't even know what organic cotton at the time was. It wasn't a thing. Okay, so let me just kind of preface that by saying back when I was creating it originally, probably like 2006, 2007 is when I started to produce the clothing. It was very important for me to have something that was safe. I've always been a nerd. I do so much research. You know, like I said, I came from an education background. I wasn't looking to get into a business. I wasn't looking to open a company. I wasn't looking to do any of that stuff. And so for me, if I was going to do it, I was going to do it the right way, because I actually concurrently continued working for UCLA for the first 8 or 9 years of running Love Baby. That was the thing. I would come home, I would be with my kids, I would make dinner, I would do all that stuff. And then when everybody went to bed, I started my second job. And I probably don't have to tell you, but deep into the middle of the night, when I wasn't like trying to not take away too much of their time. And so it wasn't until 2013, I think, that I really, you know, people would see it at trade shows and say, oh, is it organic? Is it organic? And I'm like, so weird that they're asking me if it's organic. It's not like they're eating it. Like, I didn't understand what organic cotton even was. Like, what is that for? They're not putting it, they're not eating it, they're not putting it in your mouth. And the more I researched it, the more I realized, here's the thing that I don't know if a lot of people know, Sarah. When a garment is organic, the end product, there's really not a way to test the end product, believe it or not. Like, you can test it and do like OCO testing and see like, okay, it's safe, it doesn't have any like harmful chemicals that you can feel or see or whatever, but you cannot really know if that garment is organic. The time to find out about that is when it is certified throughout the production. And
Oh,
so when I
interesting.
started reading about it, I was like, what is the deal with this organic stuff? Like, is it really that much better, what have you? And for me, what I found out is, again, in the processing, they do not spray or certified. Again, there's organic cotton and there's certified organic. We're GOT certified, it's like the highest level. They are not allowed to spray with any pesticides, insecticides, no harmful chemicals, no softeners, no anything. So in the production, that's where it was most important for me, because the end product, you know, like I said, they're not putting it in their mouth, whatever, but the people who are touching it and farming it all those years, that's where for me it was very important to go organic. And I didn't do that until 2013, when I really found out about, you know, what it means to produce conventional cotton versus organic. And I will say this, that now the big rave is, you know, modal and bamboo, the super soft viscose. It's very tempting. I will tell you this. I have had four different times in the last 5 years where I'm like, oh, we should, well, let's go bamboo, let's do, you know. And the more I read about it, like I said, I'm a total nerd, the more I read about it, the more I realize it's definitely not organic. and it is definitely not eco-friendly. Bamboo as a plant, it's sustainable and it grows without water, without pesticides. It grows as a plant. But I just want you to visualize what cotton feels like when you pick it and when you wear it. And for those who may not know what bamboo feels like when you pick it or cut it, it is a hard piece of bark. It's like a tree. And to make it this soft, stretchy, whatever, you know, when something's too good to be true, it's oftentimes too good to be true. They put it in lye and, you know, all sorts of very, very toxic chemicals. And it's also got a lot of synthetics added to it. So at the end of the day, it's kind of like taking, you know, I look at it as organic cotton is picking an organic apple and then giving your child that organic apple. You might have sliced it, but that's all you did to it. Taking bamboo is like taking, you know, an organic apple, but then you're giving your child like an apple Jolly Rancher and going, here you go. It's organic. It's not. You've added so much stuff to it that
Interesting.
you don't have the nature of those of the original, you know, fruit. So that's
And
kind of.
now, like, everyone talks about forever chemicals. That's like in all, you know, like the Old Navies and Targets and all like the super cheap, what do they call it, fast fashion now? And it's everywhere. Is that always been the case, or are we just hearing about it? What is the difference? Like, is that what is forever chemicals, I guess?
I mean, you know, the issue is this. I feel like every year something new comes out when you are in, especially, you know, in any business. But when you're in a business, when you're, you know, working directly where your end consumer is a baby or a child, it's even more, you know, it's kind of like how, and you're a mom, Sarah, so you know, like one year they tell you, like, oh, start feeding your baby solids at 4 months. Then all of a sudden that changes to 6 months. Then all of a sudden that changes to put your baby to sleep this way. Put your baby. Every year it's like they're doing more research. And I think that for me, kind of both as a mom and like I said, with this, you know, nerdy background of like I research everything. I am such a I tend to be so conservative when it comes to stuff like that. I'm so nervous. Like, why is it so soft? Why is, you know, like anything like that always makes me nervous. And so I tend to always err on the side of conservative when it comes to producing, et cetera. And I'm glad I do because every year, like I said, we're getting something new from from CPSC, like the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which I'm very, very much a stickler for. Like that's why our drawstrings on our, you know, like little pants are a certain length or what have you. I'm very much safety before anything else. And I just figured when something is natural and we know that it's natural and it's not too good to be true, like our stuff is not softer than bamboo and it's not because I'm not putting any silicates or softeners or what have you. I'm going with that natural. I'm trying to make it as soft and as stretchy naturally by doing like a looser knit or what have you. But I'm glad that I'm staying conservative. It's sort of like slow and steady, you know, like the tortoise and the hare, because as things come up every year, I'm not worried. I'm not worried that suddenly they're like, do you guys have phthalates in your stuff? Because now that, do you guys have this in your, no,
You've got
no,
nothing.
no, we've got nothing. You know, I joke like, you know, did you know that when you buy Love Baby, you're getting nothing extra and that's a good thing? I would rather err on the side of like, okay, you know what I mean? Like it's sort of like how I think we raise the kids where it's like, you can have water, you don't need soda, you don't need whatever every
That's
once in a
how
while.
we are.
But you kind of know that that's hopefully gonna, it's, you know, water is water. Like you're, that's a thing. It's all of a sudden somebody comes up, this has electrolytes, this has this. And then 5 years later, you find out that those electrolytes had whatever, microplastics. I'm glad that I've been, you know, because it, trust me, it's very tempting for me to go with the fads and to go with what moms want. But at the same time, I can't. I got as far as getting the samples and whatever. And I'm like, it's still not. And, you know, there's all these changes. Now it's closed loop. Now it's this. When you actually do the research and you find out, again, if it seems too good to be true, it's
It
probably
probably is.
too good to be
And
true.
I
And
will
I'd
say,
rather, you
and
know.
I'll attest to like from carrying your products since 2017, like it really is high quality. It does feel good. It's all the things. And you know, your tag says it too with you being certified 100% organic cotton. And it shows. And then you guys also do all of our matching family, like holiday jammies. And like one of my kids has been wearing your thermal jammies all year long to the point where he's got like a hole in the knee. And I'm like, are you ready to like let go of this? Like I can get
You need a gift
more, you
too.
know? But he's obsessed. And like, again, I think it
Aww.
comes to like how it feels. And I'm big on like, I don't like, you know, I have all boys and they love this like cheap polyester crap, like basketball shorts. They call it silky. I want a silky shirt. And I'm like, no, it has to be cotton at least. Because I mean, I don't even know how I could find organic cotton boys'
Basketball
clothes.
shorts.
Like, where do I find that? But at least I'm like, let's not do the cheap polyesters, or I try to stay away from the forever chemicals as much as possible, but it's so hard. So you've been in business for 20 years. You have kind of seen it all with like the crash in 2008, going through COVID, all the highs and lows. So will you tell us a little bit about what those highs and lows look like? Why, you know, you guys basically survived and have been thriving when I'm sure a lot of businesses have gone under.
And I want to just go back to something that you just said about, you know, raising your own boys and what have you. And then I want to get to this question. But one thing that I will say is this. I think that as moms, and I'm sure you can attest to this, we are constantly feeling, at least for me, constantly feeling judged, right? If you're working too much, then you're feeling guilty about not being with the baby. When you're with babies, then you're feeling like you're not really contributing to, you know, your own, like, just like your value and your whatever it is that you're feeling. I feel like we feel very guilty at all times. And I feel like a lot of moms, especially ones that I've talked to, we're always feeling judged. Like, did I make the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Did I buy the right? I want to preface what we're kind of talking about, like with, you know, oh, only buying organic or what have you. I mean, and let's just put it out there. I am not judging anybody for decisions that they make because I feel like we make decisions for various reasons. And always, you know, we would hope with good and the best intentions for our family, our lifestyle, our children. And I think that for me, the important thing that people walk away with when they're listening to this is not that I'm saying, don't buy this, don't buy this, don't buy that. That's horrible. It's just putting the onus on brands to really be transparent. When a brand says this is eco-friendly and sustainable, our garments are eco-friendly and sustainable, when only the plant is eco-friendly and sustainable, again, that's sort of like selling me a Jolly Rancher, apple flavored, and saying, here, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, all the nutrients and the benefits. They're not. So to call the bamboo plant, sustainable and eco-friendly, that's great. But don't say that the fabric that you made by adding blah, blah, blah. I think that it's a lot of pressure on parents because the parents are trusting what we see. I just happen to know a lot about this sector because I'm in it. I'm producing it. But I don't know. Like now I'm worried about all sorts of stuff. My kids every day are like, Mom, did you know that there's microplastics in the blah, blah, blah? I'm like, no, I thought that was PVA free and this free and that free. Again, we're consumers. We are expecting that from the brand. And if they tell me something, I'm listening to that and I'm going, oh, okay, it's eco-friendly. I'm doing well. A lot of people erroneously think that something is organic or eco-friendly because of the marketing and stuff behind it. So again, I want people to understand I am 100% not judging any mother, family, et cetera, as I'm sure you're not either, but I do feel it's important that the consumer is educated and knows what they are buying. It's not fair to sell me this and tell me it's that. Because then now I've made a decision based on something that isn't really correct. So I
True.
just wanted to put it out there that people have a
No, I
right to
love
do
that.
whatever
And I
they
will
want.
say, like, my whole thing with that is like, okay, at least if the sheets are organic and the pajamas are organic, then I feel like I'm doing good because half the time when they're sleeping or in bed, I know that they're good. And then if they want to wear their basketball shorts or whatever to school, it's fine. Yeah. So, like, we
And
do our
again, and
best,
I
like
feel
you
like
said.
you know that it's, you know, I'm not saying I don't go to McDonald's. Trust me. I love a Big Mac. I love French fries. Do I think it's healthy for me? No. Now, if McDonald's said to me, this is amazing, it's organic, it's this, and it's free range, and that's not fair to me because now I'm eating it going, gosh, I don't know why I'm feeling lethargic. I don't know why I'm gaining weight. They said it's this, they said it's that. That's where it's not fair. So, you know, just to be kind of mindful, and as a matter of fact, even the Federal Trade Commission has called out these companies. And I kind of keep going back to bamboo because that's something that, you know, has been a fad and has been something that we've kind of like, oh, maybe we
Yeah,
should.
very
Even the
much
Federal Trade
so.
Commission has said once you produce it into a viscose fabric, which is what that soft, stretchy, it has lost all the properties that are inherent and amazing in the bamboo plant. So I will go back to kind of your other question, which is kind of how have we seen, I have been on a roller coaster, I won't lie. And we've experienced our share of ups and downs. As a matter of fact, right now, you know, I feel like we're slow and steady. And I think that that's kind of been my biggest, what's the word? My biggest positive force in carrying our business is because I am not chasing a fad and I'm not doing something just on a whim. I tend to be extremely cautious. And I'm careful with what we produce. My first thing, besides it being obviously absolutely adorable and cute and pretty and what have you, is A, is it safe? And I don't care if the Consumer Product Commissioner says like it's safe and it's this and it's that. There are certain things that even when they're allowed, I won't do them as a mom because I'm like, that doesn't seem safe to me. Like again, like certain buttons, certain whatever that you're allowed to use that we don't. I simply don't. I'm too much of a I am too much of a worrywart about my own children and about the children who are, you know, going to be outfitted in our stuff. So first and foremost for me is safety and not necessarily following a trend, a fad, a whatever. You know, like even just all sorts of things that you don't think about, like not a gown, stuff like that, that I just I'm like, I don't, we don't touch that. I won't do this. I won't do this. For
Yeah, because those
various
knotted
reasons.
gowns were really trendy as well
Yeah,
for a
they were.
while.
And they still are in some capacity. Again, with cotton, there are a lot more laws and rules because it's a natural fabric. So even like things that you might not realize, but the length of a garment, like the length of sleepwear has to be a certain length. The width, like how narrow on the body so that no oxygenation, can I buy a vowel? Oxygenation goes through. Like the things that you don't necessarily know, all the behind the scenes, if people knew all the behind the scenes that I go through and all the hoops, and I, like I said, I am a total nerd when it comes to stuff like that. And even on top of what the Consumer Product Safety Commission allows us to do, there are certain things, like I said, as a mom, where I'm like, I don't think that's the safest option. I don't think that's the best option. So I think for me, that's been a driving force because I know that I feel really confident in our brand. And I don't have to go like, oh shoot, now we have to recall that. Now we have to take this off the shelves. Now we have to, I thankfully, knock on wood, in 20 years, I've been a stickler for stuff like that. And I feel like that's why we've just kind of been on that slow and steady path. But I also feel like because we don't really follow fads, that even in our designing, our aesthetic tends to be very clean, minimalist. I mean,
Yes,
you and
very
I share that
classic.
similar, yeah, that similar vibe where I feel like it's timeless. And you know, even when it is something that's sort of like a fad or a phenomenon, like I like to do it in a way that's got the Love Baby vibe to it, where you're like, oh my gosh, they came out with a pointelle, but that's in there. It still follows true to our aesthetic. But then in, you know, we have definitely seen our share of ups and downs. We had, you know, we went into COVID. It scared the you know, bejesus out of me. I was like, what is happening? What I had pe I'll tell you, COVID started like officially kind of where everything shut down. If you remember, right around March. Well, March for us is when we ship all of the stores their spring. We had produced all of this stuff because stores order from us, as you know, Sarah, or Sarah, the stores order from us 6 months in advance, place their pre-orders, and then we cut whatever you guys need. Plus, we cut some stuff for our website. Well, we had cut whatever people needed, and it was a great season. There were so many great collections. So people ordered heavy. Our stores ordered heavy. And all of a sudden, it was like,
And everyone was
okay,
shut down.
cancel, 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 cancel. I'm like, what do you mean cancel? Like, we already got our goods from our factory. Like, they're sitting here. I have like thousands, tens and hundreds of thousands of garments here sitting. And it was like an unprecedented thing. So it was like, what in the world am I doing? Is the world closing? Like, what is happening? And we kind of panicked for a few days. And then I was like, okay, what can we do to support our stores? And so we actually had my director of technology. I was like, okay, we need to think of something creative. Can we create little websites for our stores that don't have websites
Oh, that's smart.
that are selling specifically just from our collection so that they can get at least they could sit at home and just post on Instagram or what have you and have people. So we were very creative in how
Art,
we
yeah.
can,
I
you know, we
do
did a small
remember
plan.
like when the shutdowns happened, I was so lucky because my husband had pushed me to build a website before I opened the second Lemon location. And so we had a website with all of our inventory on it, but majority of the small businesses around us did not have a website that had all their inventory. And it took them at least a month just to get something on their website that they could keep selling. So we were so blessed. But yeah, I mean, as soon as you said that, it reminded me, it's a nightmare. I mean, because a lot of these people just count on foot traffic.
Absolutely. And some of the stores that we've sold are like family owned businesses. And it's like mom and pop shops where the mom and pop are now the grandparents. And so I was like, okay, Jennifer, listen, this is what we're doing. Or more like, you know,
And they're like, what is that?
They didn't
what's
even know
social
what we were
media?
Doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we
we're like,
were
not even
about,
on social media.
Yes. You know, I was joking. I'm like an Instagrammer. It took me a while to realize. I don't know if you know this, Sarah, but I had a girl working here years ago, probably, I don't even know, 8, 9 years ago.
Okay.
The sweetest girl. She was a sister of one of my sons, one of his good friends. She was working here and she was taking photos of us eating lunch, you know, like a teeny bopper does. Like she was 16 or 17, whatever. And she was helping us with shipping and stuff. And she would take pictures of me making baskets and blah, blah, blah. It's just a funny story. But she was taking pictures all this time. I had no idea what she was doing, but whatever. Then she went off to college. So she moves off to Berkeley a few years later. And somehow a friend of mine says to me, oh my gosh, Sharon, did you see that Monica, a very famous singer. She's like, did you see that Monica posted on Instagram wearing your clothes? And I go, no, you're mistaken. We don't have Instagram. She goes, what are you talking about? She tagged you. I saw you. And I go, we don't have Instagram. We have Facebook, because I had figured out, Sarah, how to finally do Facebook, because I wasn't even on Facebook. I don't really have a lot of like social media. And I'm like, no, we don't. And she goes, Sharon, you absolutely have Instagram. You have like 1,000 followers. And I'm looking at her like she's kind of crazy. And I'm like, I'm the owner. I think I would know if I had Instagram.
You're like, this girl made me an Instagram and then left.
Right. It's a small company. So anyway, I'm like, what is she even talking about? She sends me a link to, and I go on like downloading it. I'm asking my 14-year-old, how do I do this? Sure enough, I have Instagram. I have 1,000 followers. And when you looked at it, I'm like, oh my God, that's me making a basket. That's our lunch. Now I'm calling Agnes, freaking out, going, Agnes, did you open an Instagram? She goes, oh my gosh, Sharon, I told you I was opening an Instagram. She probably told me that. Probably didn't understand what the heck she said.
Like all the passwords and everything and
left. I'm like, okay, you're opening an Instagram. Cool. I didn't even know what that was. I think it went in one ear, went out the other. She managed that for 2 years. No joke. If you go back far enough in our Instagram, you will see a 107-week hiatus between when she did it to when I was like,
when you finally took over. Oh
yes,
my goodness.
No idea. And so, you know, I was joke about like the social media. I had no idea what we were doing. But
that
then
is so funny.
Social media too. And I don't know if you're noticing this, but do you notice that social media has really, like, the amount of views and the amount of likes and the amount of has really dwindled? I feel like ever since that, like, I don't even know if it's the iOS 14 or what, but definitely that's a huge thing that has affected our business. And unfortunately, it's affected it negatively. So we have to constantly be creating.
That was actually my next question to you is like, how has marketing changed throughout the years? Because obviously so much has happened in 2 decades. When I started Lemon, I remember Instagram. I was like on Instagram, but it was right when stories started. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to post. And everyone's like, no, you have to do stories. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I started doing stories at the very beginning. And then now it's all about the reels and everyone's on TikTok. I'm not even on TikTok at all, but everyone keeps saying you need to be on TikTok. And I'm like, who has time for this? Like, can we just,
I don't even think TikTok is that big anymore. I think there's like, they've moved on. I feel like by the time I catch up, it's sort of like, okay, skinny
now
jeans,
what?
Is that what we're doing? I don't know if I could do skinny jeans. I did that in the 80s. Okay, they're back. Finally get on the bandwagon of skinny jeans. And my kids are like, Mom, no one's wearing those anymore. We're moved on to flare. I'm like, what? Flare? I was wearing flare.
I know. The fashion goes so fast.
That's how I feel about social media. By the time I figure out how to do it, and I'm doing the social media for us, by the time I figure out how to do it, they're like, okay, bye. We're like now on to
something else.
Something else
like YouTube Shorts or I mean, I never did like Snapchat or any of that. I know it really is hard. What I guess your marketing, aside from social, what has changed for you?
Oh my gosh, it's changed drastically.
Yeah.
And negatively. And I'll tell you, I feel like also during COVID, just so that you know, like we did, like COVID ended up being a business-wise, a very good year for us.
Same.
Or a couple years for us. Because we were able to sell online, because we were able to assist our stores that were boutiques and kind of like, you know, smaller mom and pops in giving them that freedom to be able to sell online.
Yeah.
And creating those like little mini Love Baby offshoot websites for them. They were very thankful. And I think that's another reason why we've stayed. I feel like relationships is first and foremost in our business, aside from obviously quality and safety with our stores, with our moms. You know, that person to person, knowing what somebody else is going through. So we were able to stay in that. And I feel like I'm very fortunate with that respect. But COVID ended up being financially a very good year for us business-wise, because we're in the business of babies, and babies and children constantly growing out of stuff. It's not like, oh,
Yeah.
I can use another t-shirt, but I don't really need one. They need one. Like they're moving into the next phase. But coming off COVID, I feel like all of a sudden there was a ton more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like competition. All of a sudden, everybody had a company.
The business.
People
Yeah.
came out. Yes. People came out of COVID, and it's like, now there's 25 new
Yeah.
baby companies that women
Yeah.
started, you know, just out of necessity or out of boredom or out of,
Totally,
let me do
totally.
something fun. And so there's definitely more competition, which, you know, it's pros and cons.
Yeah.
Competition is always challenging, because when you've been doing it and suddenly somebody new comes along, you're like, oh God, now I have another. At the same time, it also gives you that boost, like that little kick in the butt of like, hey, this is fun. Let's do this. Like, let me, you know, let's do, it gives you like a new lease or a new air where you might be resting on your laurels, right? Like to try and keep up with what's happening and what have you. So if you look at the positive of that, I feel like a lot of fun stuff came out of that for us. But at the same time, I also feel like a lot of the, and again, I kind of say iOS 14, a lot of the laws changed with privacy, et cetera, and it made it a lot more challenging. And I also feel like just the whole algorithm change on Instagram. Like I would literally post something and get 8,000 likes,
Yes.
which 8,000 likes, multiply that by how many views? Because not everybody's liking, right? For every 10 people that are looking at your story or your
Right.
post,
Right.
maybe one is actually clicking the like. The rest of them are liking it in their head and moving
Yeah.
on. And so, but you've got the visibility. And
Yeah.
now I feel like it's gotten to a point, Sarah, where I've taken the exact same photo from 4 years ago and gone, is it the baby? Is that what it is? Is the babies that I'm posting are not as cute, which we know is not the case.
Not
But I'm
it.
like,
Yeah.
let me remove all confounding variables from here. Like I said, my scientific brain kind of goes into, okay, let me take this picture that got 10,000 likes 5 years ago and put it up here now. And it's absolutely not getting the visibility. It's not
Yeah.
that people are not liking the same thing. They're just not seeing it. And
Totally.
so when you're asking me how has marketing changed, I now am spending money on advertising at a rate that I never had to. I mean, everything, you know,
Yeah.
pun intended, was organic. It was organic reach. It was organic clothing. You would tell your friend would follow. They would see us. Now I can see on my insights, they're not even being offered. You know, Meta is not even offering. You might be following me, but you might not see my stuff. Even some of my sisters have sometimes asked me, like, are you still posting? I'm like, yes.
No,
They're like,
totally. I
I'm
know.
not seeing
Sometimes
your
you don't see
posts.
anything. You have to literally go and, like, I forget what it's called, where you market so that you
Yes.
always see
You turn on the notifications because I feel like
notifications. Yes, exactly. Which is like, who has time to do that? Like, you're not going to go and be like,
right.
notify me, like, on everyone. It's
Well, the
just
other thing is, I don't
automatic.
even think you realize. Like, you don't realize. You just, you know, it's like it would be like me every time I would see your post, like including the one I just saw right now with something new is coming. So pretty.
Yeah.
You always have the prettiest posts and the prettiest
Aw,
packaging.
thank
I love
you.
everything about your branding. But when I see it, of course I like it. I'm like, oh, that's fun. When you don't see it, you're not thinking like, what happened to Sarah? Why are they not
Oh,
posting?
totally. I know.
It's
Yeah.
kind of
You're
like out of
following so
sight,
many
out of
people and
mind.
life is busy. No,
Right.
I agree. It's been a headache for all of us. I do think post-COVID also a lot of people learned how to shop online. Not that they weren't doing it before, but like my mother's generation, for example, she was very much like a I'm going to go to Nordstrom kind of gal. And then after COVID, she's savvy now. She'll order on Amazon. She'll order whatever online, where she was never doing that before. So it did change everything. So like you said, there's more
Absolutely.
competition. There's more on social media. There's more everything online. And it's just so saturated and it's frustrating.
Well, if nothing else, like for me, because we are, we service our stores, our boutiques, and we try really to go kind of above and beyond and really want to promote our stores. I feel like that's another reason why, again, the relationships, knowing where you come from, knowing what you're going through with being a business. That's a brick and mortar. And I know that that's a very difficult thing. And that's actually why we don't really sell. We've not opened new online only accounts. I don't, if that interests kind of the listeners, but we are approached all the time by new online only stores to sell our product. And we don't allow them, like people who were sort of grandfathered in 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that's one thing. But it's really for. To help our stores, because I feel like a lot of people now go into a boutique, touch, feel, look, hold on to the stuff. Let me try the stroller. Let me test out what this looks like. And then they go home and they find it, maybe with free shipping or a little bit cheaper or with a coupon code or whatever it is online somewhere, which really does a disservice to are the store owners, because you've invested time in training your staff. You're a small boutique. You're, locally, typically locally owned. It's a lot. So if anything, I would imagine that it's much harder for somebody like you who has a physical location that you're paying all the overhead. I'm sure that you've, as much as it's frustrating for us, like the competition and what have you, to have now to compete with online, super easy. You can get something the same day if you order it sometimes from Amazon. It's crazy to me. Like I ordered it now. It's, I barely
I
hit
know
send.
it'll be like it'll be there in
They're
four
ringing my
hours.
doorbell. I'm like, they're already here.
I know, as much as I hate Amazon, like we do need it for certain things, even to run the business. They'll send us, I don't know, like our lemon tags are like from Amazon. Like it's just crazy. Like just it just makes life easy. Tell us about balancing motherhood and marriage with running and growing your business throughout the years.
Okay, so I, I've been very lucky. My husband is a total like champion for me, regardless of if that means I decide to suddenly paint our living room chartreuse or if I want to start a business. Like he's always been like, okay, I think his motto is like happy wife, happy life, type of thing. So he's been always there. He's very supportive and he's a very hands-on dad. So that was something that was I was very, very blessed with when my kids were little. And then in addition to that, I had a very strong support. It takes a village to raise a baby. It takes a village to run a company, I feel like. And I've been very lucky in that respect. My parents were very involved. My in-laws have been very involved. And even if that means helping me, with making my first packages to stores. Like I remember my in-laws were over, my parents were over, and we were all kind of like, taping up boxes and they were helping me. And they're like, my mom kept saying like, okay, honey, one of these days, you'll have like employees and what have you. Right now, yes, it's in your living room. So I've been very, very lucky in that respect. And then in addition to that, just knowing that for me, it was very important to have, like you said, the balance, which is very, very, it's challenging, but I think I sacrificed a little bit more of probably my sleep and my health to make sure that I was doing those things kind of late in the night so that my kids wouldn't suffer so much, if you will, because I was working still as an educator during the day. And then I would come home and like I said, I would really try to be as present as I could. I think that the luck for me was that cell phones were not smartphones 20 years ago, and it worked to my advantage because I feel like it's like a double-edged sword. Yes, we can now run our business from anywhere, right? Like I can be in Hawaii on vacation and still run my business. And I want you to listen to the pros and the cons of that. I'm in Hawaii and I can still run my business. Is that a good statement or a bad statement? I don't know. Business-wise, it's a good statement. Personal-wise, it's a bad statement because it's like a snail. That shell of a business comes with you no matter where you go. So people are like, you're so lucky You get to make your own hours. Yes. And oftentimes my hours are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I could be at a birthday party for my child. And if I'm having problems with a shipment not arriving or whatever, I'm like on the phone texting. So
Totally.
20 years ago, that wasn't the case. And I feel like I could sort of kind of divorce myself, if you will. Like,
Yeah.
I'm done. This is what's happening right now. I also, the kind of lucky and unlucky thing was I was running the business from my house when I first started for the first, like I said, 8 or 9 years. I was doing it
Yeah.
concurrently with working at UCLA. It was a side hustle. And when I finally left UCLA and said, you know, I can always go back to teaching, but this business is kind of continuing. Let me see where this baby goes. And then
Yeah.
I'll, and once I did that, and I think with that, like the sudden, like, you know, the smartphones and whatever, it made life a lot easier for me in a way, because I could go with my family on vacation and I could move away from this business, like from every single day, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it's constant. Like, I will wake up in the middle of the night sometimes with an idea. And it's 4 in the morning, and I'm like, oh, I grab my phone. Tomorrow, I need to do. D -d 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 -d. And it's like,
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't know if I balanced it better when I didn't have it all the time
Yeah.
versus now with the ease. So it's definitely been a juggling act. But like I said, I think for me, with having kids that when they were little, not having that smartphone and not having the easy accessibility made me just have to balance it like that. Like, okay, I'm not at work, I'm you know,
Yeah.
and now I feel like I have the luxury that my kids are older. My kids are now 14, 19, 23, and 24. Like, three of them are already
Oh.
like pretty much, you know, out the door type of thing. The youngest one is 14, but may as well be 25. She's the youngest, and she's got her older siblings, you know, helping her, like getting here, getting there. And she's very
Yeah.
self-sufficient. And so I
Wow,
think,
you had
again,
4 kids. Look at you.
yes, that's why I,
You're
again,
like, and I need a nap now. So,
I need, there's no, there's an app for that, but there's no nap for that. Yes. And I
yeah.
always joke that, you know, I work with all these moms that are like, you know, these young moms right now, and they're like, oh my gosh, sharing my birth story, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, been there, done that. What you're not sharing, what they don't tell you is there's no epidural for these 18 years of raising these
Yeah.
children, you know, like at minimum. And then after that, they like, you know, my daughter's now 24, almost 25, and she's, you know, it's, there's always something that you're always, I want to say, you're always worried a little bit. Like, that responsibility never goes away. My
Oh,
mom used
I'm
to tell
sure,
me,
yeah.
little kids, little problems, big p kids, big problems. I'm like, mom, no, you don't understand. Like, they're not going to sleep. Like, I can't get them to fall asleep. That's like a huge problem. And then, you know, now, like, jumping to when they're like young adults, and you're like, you're no longer worried about if they're going to fall asleep. You're worried about who are they sleeping with. It's like that kind
Totally,
of, like, your
yeah.
mentality now is changing. Like, who are they hanging out with? What are they doing? Why is it 11 o'clock and you're not home yet? You know, so all of those things, let me
Yeah.
tell you, like, it's true. There are ups and downs always with, you know, with life, with business, with family, with what have you. But again, I feel like it's a labor of love. You do
Totally.
it because
Yeah.
you
You
love
can
it.
totally tell like your passion behind what you do, which I think that's the key. Like when people ask me, I want to start a business. I'm not sure if this is the right type of business or what if I get bored with this type of business. And I'm like, if you really love it, it won't be that scary and it won't feel like that much work. Like
I
you're
mean,
just, yeah.
Sarah, would you agree that there are mornings that you wake up and you go, what the heck? Why am I doing this?
Oh, for sure.
I don't want to do
Yeah.
this. And I hate to say that it's not just one morning. There's a lot of mornings when we're like, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. And for me, I don't have a business background. I don't have any of that. I have an
Yeah.
eye for what I like, an aesthetic that I like. And I just kind of keep going with that. What if I like it, then I figured my customers will like it. You know, it's
Totally.
not going to be for
Yeah.
everybody, but the people that have followed me over my journey. And I feel like also, if you just tend, you know, again, listening to people and being, for me, the relationships, I love it. I love answering our phone. I love calling our customers. I love calling our buyers. I love that part of it. I love the emails that I get 15 years later that go, I talked to Sharon, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's still me. I'm still here. Like, you know, I love that.
Yeah, you're still
It is
so
a passion.
involved.
But yes, there are days where you're like, what in the world am I doing? Like, why did I choose this? And then there are days where you're like, yes, I love it. I'm killing it. I feel like
Oh,
it's just
for sure. But that's
motherhood.
life
Just like
anyways. I
parenthood.
do remember like when COVID hit, And I had to send all my employees to shelter in place. I think I had like 16 employees because I had two stores, head of operation, my store managers, everything. And I just remember thinking to myself, how did I get here? Like, how do I have this many employees that I now have to send home and I have to do this all by myself? And they told us 2 weeks. Obviously, we know now it wasn't. And
Yes,
I was,
400
and
days
we were in the
later.
Bay Area at the time when everything was really shut down. I mean, LA was the same. Yeah,
Oh, for sure.
I literally walked into the bathroom, closed the door, and started crying.
Cry.
I was like, what did I get myself into?
In
Like,
there, done that.
how is this my life and what is happening? But yeah, I mean, that's,
But
and
I
it's,
feel like that's
that's a,
motherhood too. Wouldn't you say that's motherhood half the time?
oh yeah, in the middle of the night when they're throwing up on you and you're standing in the
Yes.
dark and you're like, how did I get here? Like,
You know, but again,
what?
it's like a labor of love. You wouldn't trade it for the world. And at the same time, you're like, what am
Totally.
I doing? And when is their mother coming to get them? Who is responsible for these children? You know, like,
Totally. That's
how
such a
do you
great,
pick up a child?
comparison for sure with motherhood. I love that. So I want to end with this. Where do you see yourself in the next like 5 to 10 years, whether it's personal, professional? A lot of times it blends kind of for us business owners.
So it's funny that you ask. That's a good question. Hopefully, I see myself healthy. That's number one, first and foremost. You know, unfortunately, I've had this experience with my mom, and not just with my mom, but I just feel like family in general that we've lost at a very young age. And so for me, I hate to say I have like this weird morbid, like I always worry, like, how long can I ride this wave? Like, how much longer? You know, like, and I think that that's why I try to do so many things in a short period of time. Like, even though I'm at my busiest right now with Love Baby. Actually, like last week, I went back and did something. I did like a 2-day workshop for teachers just to kind of get. Remember, I said earlier, like, oh, I could always go back to teaching. And I found that post-COVID, I felt like more drawn to it than ever to kind of go and do some of the stuff that I used to do for UCLA, which was training teachers on how to make the lessons more engaging and working cooperatively. I feel like, especially now with like cell phones and stuff, you've got all these kids that have 500 or 5,000 or 1 million friends, and yet are feeling so lonely that we have a rise in mental health issues. And we've got, God forbid, all these like, you know, school shootings and what have you, because even though they have 5,000 friends, quote unquote, they're more alone than ever. And so for me, I kind of want to balance. I feel like I'm really lucky in the sense that Love Baby now is not a baby anymore. It's a mature company. Even though there are going to be ups and downs, and there are things that are coming at me left and right, I feel like I'm on a little hamster wheel, and you know, people are throwing like it's almost like dodgeball on a hamster wheel. And at the same time, I now have learned to kind of go like, I got that, I got that. Okay, I'm going to cry about this for 2 days, but then I'm going to figure it out. Like it still breaks me down. There are things that happen even just last week. The things will happen at work, and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? And then just getting back up. I don't think that if the reaction's going to come, however it's going to come, right? You're gonna be sad, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be mad, you're going to be happy, you're going to be whatever. It's how you recover from that. Okay, I cried about it. I'm really, really sad about it, or I'm really, really overwhelmed by this. How do I recover from that? I think that's the part that kind of helps to keep you plugging along. And I think that's in everything. That's in everything, even on your toughest days as a parent, where you just feel like you're doing everything wrong and you don't know what you're doing and blah, 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 blah. You cry. You might lock yourself into a closet for a few minutes. You might eat a candy bar. You might whatever. And then the next day you wake up and whatever, they suddenly give you the cutest hug of your life. And you're like, I'm doing something right. I'm doing something right. So it's, I think number one for me is making sure that I keep my sanity and my health to the extent that I can. I do kind of plan to go back a little bit and do some of these workshops. I'm not going back into the classroom, but working with teachers and doing that sporadically, you know, like just to keep me in that loop, because I feel like, again, what I am working with teachers is how to keep the kids cooperatively working together and talking. And I think that that's an art form that we have lost with the invention of, you know, the smartphone and social media and now AI. I feel like we are getting smarter as a society and more things at our fingertips. More resources, but what we're losing is the ability and the in communicating with others. And I think that's a very, very dangerous path that we're walking, where we can do all of these things but we don't know how to communicate. I mean, I'm looking at, my nephews and even my kids, like making sure, like, can you go up and order at a restaurant and look somebody in the eye and say thank you and please? And it's like even basic manners, but just communicating, like think about it. Even when you try to call and make a reservation, it's like, please visit our website. There's no more communication with people. And so for me, I just hope that I'm able to juggle kind of everything that I've been juggling. And I think that, you asked me kind of from the beginning, how have you kept through? I think that also our relationships really has been key. And I hope that that's what I continue to grow relationships with our customers, some of whom have been our customers for 20 years, with our customers who are our buyers from our stores that I hope to support and uplift, because at the end of the day, we are all, for the most part, most of them are working moms that have opened up a boutique or a company based on the needs that they had with their children. And I hope to continue to just, again, build these relationships, and not just build them, but foster them and grow them, so that we can continue to adapt and evolve. Again, not by fads, but adapt and evolve in a way that's very tried and true, but with what people are seeking, what they need, what they're looking for. And that's kind of where I hope to be. I hope to just ride the wave. I don't know. I don't really like to think like, oh, I'm going to do this. I like to ride the wave and keep going forward. And if an opportunity comes up, I hope that I'm always able to seize that opportunity and, learn from it.
I love that. And we're going to carry your brand forever at Lemon.
Aw, thank
I
you. And I
mean,
love
that's a
your brand. We
given.
love everything. It's so nice to be able to just, that's the thing. It's like when you have this relationship, when I have something that's fun or new or whatever, I feel so comfortable and confident just calling you and going, Sarah, blah, blah, blah. This is what we got. And you're always so open to it. Like, okay, let's test it out. Let's try it. Let's see how it goes. And then giving us feedback of, okay, customers love this. The customers wanted this. And so I think that having that also helps us to propel our brand, and then kind of propel, the stores as well into, this is what they're asking for. This is based on customer feedback. So I know your customers absolutely adore you, and it says a lot about they keep coming back to you year after year. So.
Thank you. You're so sweet. Well, I think, for me, the relationships are great with the brands, like with you, but then just having that high quality product that we can put our name behind. And, I mean, at Lemon, we've done over 100 different brands across everything that we do. And I can't always make sure it's perfect. So when I have brands like you where I know it's going to come and it's going to be high quality, that's everything for us. So
You.
love it.
Okay.
I'm so excited that we now have holiday in store. Everyone can grab
Yes.
their jammies and we have all the new fall stuff. And
Amazing.
it's such a fun time of the year.
It was so nice to finally meet face to face, even though
I
it's not in real
know.
life,
Next
but
time I'm in
close enough.
LA, I'll definitely let you know. We'll like grab lunch or something.
That sounds great. I would love
And
that.
if you're
And
ever in Nashville, call me.
okay, well, I might be. I don't know. I might keep my hand at I always joke about, I want to sing in Korea. I want to do all sorts of stuff.
There
I
you
want to
go.
be
Come out here,
in
start
everything.
singing. I love it. All right. Well, thanks so much. This was so
Thank you, Sarah. It
fun.
was wonderful, and I appreciate you having me, and I look forward to many, many more years working
Yes,
together.
me too. Okay, bye.